Have you ever thanked an ex before? Like, thanked them for something they did for you?
I'm sure I did at one point or another, but not typically publicly, and it's not something that I've had to do something big. It can be important, though.
Yeah. So, Jason Sudeikis, if you haven't been following, it's been in the news because he broke up with Olivia Wilde. They've been together for many years. They have children together. Basically, she kind of left him for Harry Styles.
Destroyed his heart. Destroyed him as a human being, but yet he's being nice to her.
Yeah, he thanked her for the Ted Lasso concept. It was her idea to do the show, and he ended up winning all these awards for it.
Yeah, that's his new popular show. It's kind of a big deal. I did see that Jeff Bezos was happy for his ex getting married the other day.
Yeah, he like wished her congratulations.
Said her new husband's the best guy ever. Yeah. I'd be like, he's the second best guy. I'm the best guy, but good for them.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think I've ever thanked an ex for anything in my life.
Well, now's your chance.
I don't know. Like, I try to think back. Like, it wouldn't be for something specific. Like, if somebody gave me like a really good show idea that made me a millionaire, then I would probably thank them for that.
No, because then they would want a percentage. Don't you ever do that. If the show is together, don't you do it.
I guess I could thank my ex because his car was stick shift, and he like taught me how to drive it stick really well.
I was going to thank my ex for the same thing.
Maybe that's all there is to thank our exes about, is how to drive stick. Wait a minute, you learned how to drive stick from your ex-girlfriend?
One of my early exes had a stick shift car, I remember, and I fried the clutch in that one so bad, learning how to drive stick, kind of by myself, kind of with her help. Kind of definitely all to the chagrin to her father, that the next girlfriend that I got, she also had a stick shift, and I was really good at it by then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my ex, same thing. Like, my dad made it a big deal. I had to learn how to drive stick because, you know, what if you're at a party and the only car is a stick shift? How are you going to drive it? Like, but I remember that I was so bad at it that he would bring me to parking lots and we would practice, and I learned pretty well how to do it.
Now, think that how much better it would have been if you could have practiced with somebody else's clutch.
Right. Exactly. You burned right through it. Okay, thank you to both our exes for teaching us how to drive stick, because neither of us ever have to do that ever again. My cousin Angela and I, we always say whenever we go out to a bar, which I'll be honest, now that we are mothers, we don't do it all that often anymore.
Not as often as it used to be, that's for sure.
Not like it used to be.
You want to dance on the bar, girlfriend?
Right.
My knees hurt.
Oh, my God. It's 9 o'clock.
Right.
It's getting late, guys.
Right.
Got to get home. Oh, it's Anna and Raven. But we always laugh.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. But because we'll go to these bars, and they're still playing the music that we grew up with.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I go, do millennials still listen to Biggie?
It blows my mind when I talk with couples that are getting married with my biz, that they're 25 years old, and they go, "What? We really want some old school." And they always want to hear stuff from the 90s and stuff like that. And I'm like, how do you even know that stuff?
Well, it's interesting because there's a new study that just came out, and I started roughly trying to figure it out, and I was shocked by how accurate it is. Most likely your favorite band is a band that you started listening to in seventh grade when you were about 13 years old.
Why is it that they think that is the time? Is that when you find your angst and you're like, give me some Nirvana, or give me something loud, or give me something introspective, or is that when you start dancing? I don't know.
It says what influenced your musical taste is that your friends, so probably all your friends started listening around the same time.
Yeah.
Radio, which we know, obviously, is an influence.
The most powerful force on the planet.
And it said that your mom. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I don't ever remember my mom listening to this, which was my favorite song.
Do you have the time to listen to me while
there was
still
a time.
Love Green Day? You do.
Oh,
too.
I love Billy Joe Armstrong.
I really can't understand it, but you do.
Yeah, so Green Day, that album Dookie, which FYI, Dookie, Nimrod, and Basket Case were the passwords for everything in my life. Till about.
Tell me they're not still.
No, I changed them now.
I was going to say, because people are going to be trying this morning.
Right. And so that was my, for everything, up until maybe last year. So I quickly did the math, and I realized that Dookie, that album came out February 1st, 1994. I was 13 years old.
Wow.
That's exactly right. And then I'm like, well, what else was I into besides like my alternative stage? And it was this. Snoop Dogg.
Oh, I hope you played the edited version.
I did. Hold on.
Good.
Wait, listen.
The double G, but somehow, some ways.
That's all I could play.
Yeah,
that's
right. Pull it right there. And stop me from singing it, because it'll just come out.
And same thing. 1994. Like,
wow.
It's nothing. Okay, play your favorite band.
Oh!
Oh, Metallica.
It's got to be Metallica.
Right.
Sad but true. All right. So that is the Black Album, I believe.
Sad but true was the Black Album. Let's see. Let's go. See, go when ahead. Did the Black Album
I played
come
that
out?
For you. I was going to go a little bit deeper, but I played that for the masses. All right.
Master of Puppets was 1987, which I would argue probably catapulted them.
Well, I loved
them.
Master, but yeah. Ride the Lightning was after or before that. So mm-hmm. the Black Album is after Master, though. So that's definite. It was Enter Sandman and everything. That's when they went mainstream, basically.
Yeah, so I'm
when they cut their hair. The controversy started. Hey! While you look, I'll just sing along.
No, we're good. We're good. About how old were you in about 1990?
I was 14.
14 years old.
14, right
it's
until
true.
The very end of the year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you figure you do the math like when they first came out and an album came out. So think about it. What's your favorite band? Go on Google, research what year they came out, when mm-hmm. they peaked, and most likely you are just about 13 years old.
I'm just going to give you a warning. Stay out of my way on the way home today now. I've got some stuff to care of when I get home today, and now that's what I'm going to be listening to. I'm going to be fired up.
Yep. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
It's Anna and Raven. It's really easy. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. I got to pull this up on Facebook. And here we go.
What do you got?
If you use your birthday as an excuse to ask for money for a house on Facebook... That's all I need to know about you.
Wow, this is somebody you know? Somebody in your circle of friends?
I mean,
on your feed?
No, you know, you have so many, they're right. just people. You
take
don't know.
Everybody.
Yeah, well,
you take everybody. Half the time you click it and you're like, is that a real person?
Well, no. If it has like the symbols for their names and I don't understand what country it's from, I do not accept them.
You know what I do?
They probably don't live in my area.
If it's an unbelievably attractive person on a thumbnail that's saying, hello from Bulgaria or wherever, I typically say no.
Right.
Even though I see that we have 17 mutual friends. Then I look at the list and it's all perverted guys I know.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, so you know how on Facebook they do that thing like, for my birthday, I'm asking you to donate to insert the blank charity here.
Of course.
Right, dogs,
puppies, rescue animals, good stuff.
This one from a girl named Brooke.
Okay.
I want a house for my birthday.
Oh.
Yep. And she wrote, as you may know, I've just recently moved here with my daughter.
Wait a minute. So you're new to town on top of it?
Yep. It's time for us to settle down. I've been saving every penny, working really hard, but it doesn't seem to be enough.
$15.
Yep.
Right.
We would love a new home before my birthday. If you want to make a contribution to the cost of the new home, we would appreciate it. Asking, you know how it says like how much to your goal?
Sure.
$100,000.
Well, I mean, it's modest. It's a modest home.
Who
it's a nice down payment, though.
For a house.
Wow.
And then there was one donation of $10.
Oh, Grandma. That's nice. Grandma sent the birthday check.
Thank you so much, Tim. Your help is so appreciated. I'm like, who supports that?
You put it in the jar.
I'm putting it right. Listen.
It's $10 in the jar. All right. It's $10 closer. Don't be hurtful.
You can't. Thank you, Tim. What? Who asked for a house on Facebook? And she tagged me.
Yeah. Oh.
She tagged me.
Well, you got to share it.
Right? are you kidding me? I want a boat.
Yeah.
Can somebody buy me a boat
for
my birthday?
I'd like a private jet. I've expressed this multiple times. You got me a t-shirt this week for my birthday, and then it arrived here 7 months after it.
Right. I told you, I ordered it from China. It took a while.
If you think starting a change.org petition is the right way to go about possibly getting a bar installed at your local IKEA. That's all I need to know about you. Got to go to the home store today, all right?
Smart.
It's open, and the wife is like, we need things. Mm. I don't even know what we need, but the food is closed, all right? And I don't even need the food. I just need an adult beverage I'm at, like, IKEA.
So you want to start a change.org to add a bar at IKEA?
I mean,
it's like the Swedish meatballs aren't enough?
For the good of the people.
Oh,
for the good of the people.
As long you clearly have thought this through. Who has the oldest adult child that's still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. So trending in the news, Raven, is that millennials are trying to get rid of this negative connotation that living at home with your parents as an adult is a bad thing. And I get it. You know, the times have been tough lately.
Sure.
And about 52% of young adults, so that's classified as adults under the age of 30, still live with their parents right now?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they had to move home because of COVID?
High number in this country, that's for sure. I mean, yeah. It's been going on everywhere else for a long, long time.
See, for me, as a, like, I'm a child of immigrants, Italian immigrants.
Sure.
So I couldn't actually be a grown up and adult until I left the house because right. It would have been their rules forever.
Until then, right?
Right. See, my brother, like, had his now wife move in with us, which can you even imagine, like, that there was a time where my brother was able to have a girl come live with us, but I couldn't introduce my now husband until I was certain that I was going to marry him.
Yeah, sometimes there's different rules for the boys and girls in certain families, right?
How old were you when you moved out of your house?
18.
And that was it?
Yeah. No, I was young. I mean, I came back twice. Let's see here. I guess I was 22 or 21 or 22. I think I came back for a little while. And then I came back again when I was like 28 for a minute.
But and then I was back out.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have an adult child still living at home?
I do. My son's still living at home, and he's 42.
42 years old?
He's at Raven's age. He's a grown man.
So wait. I mean, I need clarification. Did he move out and then move back in? Are you invalid? Like, I need some things. I need some information.
No, he actually, he's never moved out. Always been with us. He moved downstairs to the basement area.
Of course.
Made it his own. He's had a couple girlfriends move in and out, but he's never left. I think he wants that security of a home-cooked meal and not having to really have his own place.
You must do fantastic laundry.
What do you do when the girlfriend's over? Is there a sock on the door? What happens? Do you never, ever, ever enter the basement no matter what anyways?
I only go downstairs when I have to do the laundry, and that's right in the morning, and then I wait until I hear the TV on and the video games going. Or
42, video games going in the basement. Are you doing his laundry?
He's living the life.
I do his laundry.
Oh!
On occasion, I ask him to fold it.
I want to come live with you, too.
Thank you for the call. Have a great morning. I imagine her making sandwiches every time my friends come over for a Call of Duty, like, long haul, right? We're going to play Fortnite the next 5 days.
Mom, make some sandwiches!
That's right. The meatloaf! Now, Mom!
Hannah and Raven, how old is your adult child still living at home?
Oh, he's 16 years old.
I mean, 16 legally, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to allow him to still be there.
Oh, yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't make him homeless yet at this point. But
we'll give him a couple more years.
But I love your enthusiasm. Thank you for calling.
She's like, get him out. It's enough time.
Right. I can't wait to turn his room into a gym.
A lot of his friends go to boarding school. We wouldn't let him, so.
Oh, I see. Right.
I guess I'm out.
Right. He was willing to go to the military to escape the house, but you were like, nope, you're not ready yet. This is the opposite of the call that we just had, but thank you for sharing.
She said, so I'm out. So I didn't win all this kids still living at home.
It's really eye-opening what's going on here.
1-800-330-9999. Can you beat that? Can you beat, 42?
42 is the record right now.
Yeah, oldest adult child still living at home. 52% of young adults, that's adults under the age of 30 years old, still live with their parents, or because of COVID, have had to move back in with their parents, and they're trying to get rid of this negative connotation that living with your parents is a bad thing when you're an adult.
I mean, so it's an actual movement to say, listen, we're actually grown-ups.
Yes.
But it just doesn't come off grown-up.
It's Anna and Raven. For me, I couldn't wait to get out of the house because I had such strict Italian parents, I could finally grow up and be an adult.
It is funny to see how trends change, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, same thing for me. I was ready to go as soon as I could. Of course, when you're out of there and then you miss some of the niceties of being at home, you might feel a little bit differently. Same thing. You know, a lot of people, they don't go out and run right out and get their license nowadays. They don't just don't think that same way.
Do you have an adult child still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. How old are they? So far, between the text line and the calls that we've gotten, the record is 42 years old.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hi. It's Anna and Raven. How old is your adult child living at home?
25, but now I'm really depressed because you just said 42 and 39.
Right, because you're thinking in your head at 25, it can't last that much longer, but now we know it can actually last forever.
20 more years.
Sad and pathetic.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Adult child still living at home. How old are they?
43.
43 is the new record.
43, but it's
It's my brother-in-law, but I have to say that it's actually a good thing because he's now taking care of his elderly parents when they need him the most.
Well, I feel like by default, if you're still living at home when you're in your 40s, it is on you. You got to help mommy and daddy out at that point.
And a lot of times that's how it happens. A lot of times you're saying to yourself, how are we going to pay for caretakers? And then the decision is made that somebody will move back in. Conveniently, that's the same time your marriage falls apart.
Or some people just never leave, Raven. Yes. That's the other situation.
That is the situation with some.
He's never left. He's lived there his whole life.
Yep.
His mom still does his laundry, makes his lunch every day.
I like to picture his feet hanging off of his small twin bed from when he was in middle school.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Oldest adult child still living at home.
I can't be 42, but my brother is 40.
Mm.
I'm from an Italian home as well. In Italy, there's actually a phrase meaning mama's boy, because the boys stay at home until they're married. She does his laundry.
Yep.
He makes his lunch. He makes like 60 grand a year. He's living the life.
Right. Yep. And then he marries his mother. I mean, that's who they marry, because if the woman is not willing to do all those same type of things, like, it ain't going to work out.
Let me rephrase that. You marry somebody exactly like your mother, not your actual mother. There's laws against
that. Yes,
yes. Right. Yeah, I was about to say, that's getting a little creepy. But at the same time, she also has to meet my mother's approval. She oversees it. So good luck with him getting any chick in that house.
Right, seriously.
I mean, who wants to date that? Really?
For real? Yeah.
Who wants to date that type of stuff?
He's handsome, though. That's the thing.
I mean, he better be devilishly handsome.
Is he
devilishly
handsome. Is he a player, though? Does he bring girls home?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
He's only had one girlfriend that we've ever met, ever.
Interesting.
He dates, but I mean, 42. Oof, he'll get there. I guarantee he'll get there.
Yeah. She has no hope in her brother.
Right.
Anna and Raven.
She's been defeated.
Yes, right.
How old is your adult child still living at home?
My brother, 44, still lives at home with my mom.
That's the new record.
It is
44.
The new record, 44. And does he have a reason 44. For it, or he just never left?
He just never left.
Does he ever feel funny about it, or he's like, hey, this is what I do?
At 44, there's got to be no shame.
Yeah, there is no shame. He just pays for my mother. It's free. Why should he leave?
I asked my husband, I asked my parents if my husband and I could move back in with them to save money.
And they said no.
They said no.
Right.
Trending on Pinterest, I saw, is adult slumber parties. And it's so funny because my girlfriend, Danielle, my best friend, has been bugging me forever that how come we don't have more girl sleepover parties as adults?
Now, as adults, as grown-ups, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sleeping in a different place than you normally sleep can be exciting. Just switching up your routine. You know, anything out of the norm is going to be interesting, right? It's like man camping. When I go man camping, you always give me crap about that, but I go.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. So we go away. She has like a cottage that we go away to with our families, and we always have so much fun. And
sure.
She always says, why do we have to go away and drive 3 hours to, you know, the house when we can just do this at our houses right here at home? We don't need to. We're right down the street from each other. And I said, because when you're home, you should sleep at home. But then I was looking at this Pinterest, you know, adult slumber party board, and I was like, you know what? This is a good time. Why don't adults have slumber parties?
Okay, so I mean, these are one-off slumber parties, because if your two families live together all the time, that's a cult.
Yes.
This is different.
Yeah, this would be just me and her and maybe a couple of our other girlfriends.
I'm not sure it's going to be like you remember. I mean, as kids, it's fun. When you go to this cottage, it's, again, out of the norm. So as adults, what is a sleepover? How does it really compare to when you were kids?
Well, I started thinking about it, Raven, and it's kind of exactly the same thing. What do we talk about at sleepovers? Boys.
When
we were in high school, we would talk about boys.
Okay.
Now that we're married women, who are we going to complain about? Our husbands.
Well, I think when you were little, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's this one's hot, or do you think this one likes me more than a friend or whatever?
It would be Corey Feldman versus Corey Haim. Which one is hotter?
Oh, that's terrible.
But now.
Now it's, I can't even get my husband to take out the trash.
Right.
Can you believe this door has been broken on the back of the patio for 3 months?
And I still think Corey Feldman is hotter. See? It's girl talk. That stays the same. We're still talking about boys.
All right.
Except now it's just we've been married for a billion years.
What else?
Oh, makeovers. Like when you were in high school and you'd had sleepovers with the girls, like you would do facials and we would play with makeup.
Mm-hmm.
We would still do that. We would still do facials and makeup and all of that and do face masks. Like that doesn't change.
Oh, okay. I guess again, before you're experimenting with eyeliner, now you're kind of looking like, do I need my eyes done?
Right. Now it might be a Botox party, but still, same premise, right?
Okay, right. I'm following you.
Movies. You watched movies when you were growing up at slumber parties? We're still going to be watching movies. We're going to be watching romantic comedies, probably the same ones that we were watching in 1994.
That's funny, and I'm here for that because there's a bunch of shows and movies I never want to sit down and watch with my wife, and she loves them. Perfect.
What you're going to eat? Pizza and ice cream. We're still going to eat pizza and ice cream.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
The only thing that really I decided is different is that we used to drink like Coca-Cola, so we would have the caffeine to stay up all night.
Right.
And the only difference now is we'd probably open a bottle of Cabernet.
Yeah, and then you'll be asleep by 8:30.
Do you think my friends will let me take out the Ouija board like we used to do?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Raven, I think I might have screwed it up. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
What would you have done in this situation? It's Anna and Raven. I was leaving a class that I was teaching at the YMCA. I teach at a local Y. And what happened was is that I was at the red light getting ready to turn on the main road. And there was another light to the left of me.
Sure.
My light turns red. There was a guy at that red light and there was a car coming up behind them. And it was dark. It was like probably like 7:30 at night. So it was dark outside.
Sure.
And the guy, I looked at him, I go, is that dude going to slow down? And he didn't.
Oh, you can see it when somebody's coming fast. Maybe they're just not paying attention.
Right. And he slams the guy from behind.
Oh, that's worse.
And I'm like, oh, you know, like when you jump and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, ah. And then I'm like, okay. But it wasn't like a massive crash. It was like he rolled into him. But good enough.
He didn't
enough.
Fly across the intersection or anything like that.
No.
But it's good. It's an impact. I mean, it's definitely going to be somebody's bad day.
Right. So his car definitely moved up about, I don't know, maybe 2 feet or something like that.
Sure.
So now my light turns green. So I pull out and I'm looking around. I go, I'm the only person here. No one else saw this happen.
Maybe I should stop. Maybe I should be a responsible citizen. Make sure everybody's okay, right?
I've never been in that situation before. So I pull over and I look over and the guy who got hit from behind is definitely mad. And he jumps out of the car. And
okay,
he's like,
well, good. His limbs are working.
He throws up his hands. Yeah. And he's like yelling at the other guy. And it was another man that was driving the pickup truck that hit him from behind. And I saw the guy just sitting there. And I was like, I guess they got this under control. And I was like, what am I going to do?
What did you do?
I drove away.
What? The only witness, only person out there, this intersection in the middle of darkness, frankly.
Uh-huh.
These two individuals are maybe going to have a confrontation, but one seems to be in the safety bubble of his, I don't know, Kia or whatever that rolled into somebody's car.
Yeah.
And you decided to pull away.
I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, but it wasn't like anybody was hurt. It was nothing like that.
Right.
It was like a fender bender.
You
more
saw
than
people moving.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
I saw the guy get out of the car. He was so mad. He had on orange pants. It was weird. And I didn't know what I. And then I drove away. I'm like, no, okay, they're good. And I drove. And then I got to like the next light, and I go, was I supposed to stop because I was the only witness?
Right. Now, now you're kind of party to a crime, right? Now you, I don't know what you did.
What if what if there was some kind of disagreement that went along? What if the cops come and they needed me to be like a witness? They had to take my statement.
Well,
so then I'm like, do I call 911?
Right.
Do I call the police department?
What was your obligation? What was your duty to do?
Yeah, but I was really hungry because it was dinner time.
All right. Oh, so many things to do. So many more important things.
I just picked up a rotisserie chicken and went home.
You contemplated it, walked in, told your husband about it, but didn't tell anybody else of an authoritative figure.
And as my husband was shoveling mashed potatoes into his mouth, he's like, I don't know, babe. Maybe you should have done something. What was I supposed to do? What would you have done?
I mean, maybe stop, number one, and wait long enough to see whether or not they're actually going to have some sort of conversation. And maybe roll down your window and go, you all right?
Well, that's even worse, because what if they were going to fight? I don't want to be part of that.
What, you think that you roll down the window and you go, you're all right, and then all of a sudden the two of them now redirect their anger towards you? And the two
maybe.
Of them are jumping you?
I don't know.
Well, I think that in most areas, if you rear-end somebody, I think it's always your fault anyways, mm-hmm. all right? So I don't think that that's going to be an issue, but I don't know, you know? You might be actually up for a misdemeanor.
What? All right.
You might be summoned.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to the National Public Relations Manager for AAA. What are you actually supposed to do in this situation? We'll find out together. What do you do when you witness a car crash? This is exactly what happened to me. It's Anna and Raven. Andrew Gross is the National Public Relations Manager for AAA. Andy, did you ever have this issue? Like, are you supposed to stop or can you just drive off? Is there actual rules on what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, they're called laws.
Well, it really depends on the accident. Let's go with the worst case scenario first. Say you witness an accident and there are obvious injuries. That's the time that you stick around. Assist the injured. Get over there, safely. Do a quick assessment of how many people are injured. If you can tell the injuries at all, call 911. And also look around, because the more detail you can give on the intersection, or if you're on some road and there's one of those weird mile marker signs, you can say, look, I'm at mile marker 126. Anything that can get EMS there quicker is the best thing you can do.
Andrew, let's say that it doesn't appear to be a very severe accident, but it is an accident that you think when you see it, you're not sure quite who was at fault. Should you be sticking around anyways to say what you saw?
Pull off to the side of the road. Assess the situation. If the participants in the accident seem agitated, or you just think it's going to get out of hand, that's when you call 911. Don't you interfere in the situation, but if your gut tells you, maybe I should stick around, do that.
So the whole reason why this came up in the first place was that I was leaving a class and I was at the red light and I saw, and I was like, is this guy going to slow down? And he didn't. So the person that was at the red light that was like directly to the left of me, he just got slammed right from behind. But he was fine. And I saw him like open up the door and like throw his hands up because he was mad. Like, what is this guy doing? You know, like he was all mad.
It's a good reenactment.
Thank you. And I was like, am I supposed to do something right now? So my light turned green and I pulled up and I pulled over, and then I saw the other guy get out of the car, and I'm like, I feel like they have this under control. The guy clearly hit the guy from behind. And then I'm like, am I supposed to call the police? Are they supposed to call the police? Am I supposed to stay? Because I'm the only person that saw this happen. But I just drove away.
You know, in that instance, you did the right thing. You pulled up, you pulled over. You watched a little bit, and then you determined, okay, I think they have this under control. But had your gut told you, I don't know, this could be escalating, there seems to be a little anger here, that's when it can't hurt for you to call 911 and say, I witnessed this. Also, here's another great thing about these accidents. We all have smartphones. Snap a photo. And if you're involved in a picture, always take pictures.
Are most witnesses nowadays to testify whether or not they saw somebody be distracted while driving or anything like that? Can most police officers tell what happened based on the reconstruction of the accident?
No, not always. I mean, it depends. If it's a fatal accident, you always hear how distraction plays a role, but you can't tell at that point, well, was the person on the phone? Was this, because it's really hard to determine at that point. But if you witness something, if you witness someone obviously exhibiting a dangerous driving behavior, like driving distracted, like being on the phone, clearly not paying attention, running a red light, all that will factor in if you stick around and you want to share with the police. Anything you can do to help is a good thing.
Should you ever try to citizen arrest
someone?
Gonna
do it. I was going to ask him right now at this moment, what is AAA's policy on Anna citizen arresting everybody involved?
If somebody's clearly texting and on their phone and I see them hit another car from behind, which I'm pretty sure is exactly what happened in this situation, can I citizen arrest them?
No.
Right.
You know what? Leave arresting and getting involved to the professionals. Just leave it to the police.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
Yeah, thank you for confirming what literally dozens of individuals, law enforcement, medical personnel, directors of state, governors, literally dozens of people have told her.
Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Andrew Gross is the National Public Relations Manager for AAA.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Rob and Kelly joining us together this morning. Kelly, let's start with you. What's going on?
I have been working at a family-run restaurant. It's a really awesome job. I love my bosses. I've sort of observed that there's a veteran server there acting kind of shady. I'm kind of convinced that he might be stealing. I really want to tell the owners, but my husband Rob says it's going to cause a lot of drama, and, you know, what if I end up being wrong? I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable. I don't want the owners to be taken advantage of.
Do you have evidence of this? I mean, you know what they say about assumptions. Most of the time, we're actually wrong. And then you do create this whole scenario. Do you have any evidence of this, or is just this is just your hunch? They act shady and you don't particularly care for them.
Yeah, no, I don't have any evidence. Mm-hmm.
Just how you feel. Have you seen him do anything that makes you feel? I mean, obviously, you've had to see something, right?
Yeah, he sort of is really jumpy. Like, if I'll come around the corner, he looks like he's...
So he's twitchy? Rob, what's your side of this?
Well, like, you know, we don't have very much evidence, and like, what if she's wrong? And, you know, I just worry about the job, because it she does make good money and she really likes the people. So I just think, like, I don't know, keep your head low, mind your own business, and just kind of get through the day, you know?
I mean, you said not much evidence. It sounds like you have zero evidence. So, I mean, now you're just going on a hunch there, and then you're throwing your name into a lot of something at a job. 6 months, it's not forever. You don't want to be the turncoat there.
But there is something to be said that your gut is usually right. And if he is acting shady.
Well, I guess you take that risk with your income, Anna.
There have been several incidents in the past couple of months where money has just gone missing and nobody can pinpoint where it went. Like I said, he's really jumpy when we count money down in the break room, which is, you know, right next to the offices. I just, he seems shady.
All right, well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Kelly. Maybe just saying something or anonymously to the bosses being like, maybe you should look into this, is not a bad idea. You're trying to help them out, and like you said, you have a lot of respect for them as a family business, but they may see Rob's side too. You gotta mind your business, keep your head down, keep going straight, and do your job as best you can, and don't get involved. You both agree to listen what our audience has to say?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Great. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Kelly is pretty certain that one of her co-workers is stealing from the restaurant they work at. She feels so bad about it that she wants to go tell the owners. Her husband, Rob, says, are you crazy?
Yeah, don't rock the boat. I mean, if you don't know, without true evidence, a gut feeling really isn't going to stand up to anything, right?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Would you say something? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Oh, I'm on the husband's side. This woman needs to leave it alone big time. It's none of her business. If the owner or manager ever comes to her and asks her opinion or asks her what she thinks, then she could offer it up, but don't stick your nose in it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Anna and Raven. Kelly is relatively certain, even though she can't prove it, that one of the servers that she works with at her restaurant is stealing, and she wants to let the bosses know.
Rob says she needs to keep her mouth shut. She's only been there 6 months. This is a veteran server who's been there longer. I tell you, I have been certain, 100% certain of things before in my life, Anna Zapp, and I've been wrong.
Right, but the question is does she listen to her gut and tell her bosses because she has a lot of respect for them, or does she listen to her husband, who's just trying to keep her out of trouble?
Yeah, protect that job.
Yeah, on the text line, I'm on the wife's side this morning. We have to start being accountable in all of our actions. If you see something, say something. The manager will decide what to do from there. Yeah, I mean, that brings up a good point, too, is how often are you going to look away?
If you're wrong, you're the detriment to the team, you're fired.
Another text says, I'm with the hubby. Watch for the actual evidence, not might-bes. I once lost a job due to false accusation. Couldn't prove my innocence, but they couldn't prove my guilt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody who's been through it.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I don't think that you can do anything just because of a hunch. I think she's trying maybe to pass judgment because the kid seems shady. That doesn't make any sense. And why would she go to the supervisors for that when she just has a hunch about something? She needs something concrete.
I think it's completely valid that you really don't know anything about the background of the situation. You don't know the history of any of this situation. So what you think you're seeing, you may be seeing something completely different.
Right, but if your gut is usually pretty accurate, and I think you know when somebody is stealing, I still don't think you need to jump in and say something until you have something concrete. I don't know if I would ever say anything at all, but it might protect yourself in the long run. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her, his side. Okay, so she has no evidence, so if she starts naming people, then she's going to be looked at as the blamer without any evidence. Now, what she can do is see if she can get some evidence.
Right, that's video cameras.
Surveillance.
Fingerprint dust.
Yep, right.
Right. And a wide-angle lens.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Actually, I'm on his side. For the record, keep your head low. And if he thinks there's something shady, there probably is. Managers are pretty savvy. They probably have an investigation going on that she doesn't even know about.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Keep her head low, and she can say, I told you so later on.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rob, our audience agreed with you this morning. Kelly, until you have concrete evidence and video evidence and I don't know what other kind of evidence, people felt like it's probably better to just kind of keep your mouth shut and your head down.
We're assuming two things. Number one, that this person is doing it. And number two, that the people that are running the place are fools. Both of those are assumptions that come with a possibility of consequences.
Yeah, you guys make a good point. Strong case for your argument there.
Rob, that's going to make you feel better.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, she works for a restaurant, not like a detective agency, you know?
Right. Kelly, you get slapped in the face with that evidence, then you certainly should feel safe to go ahead and share that with the bosses. But right now on hunches at a job where this person's been there longer than you and so forth, you don't know the arrangement or the understandings. You don't know anything about it, so.
Okay, well, thanks for your help.
No, no problem. If you have a problem, too, send an email at couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
It's Kayla.
Hey, Kayla, you are up. Our jackpot has reset to $100. We gave away $1,900 yesterday, but it's still a good amount of cash, and I want to give it to you. Can you ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kayla, but not too much.
All right, Raven's walking on out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. But if it's a tie, Kayla, it goes to Raven, okay?
Okay.
Okay, 1. Artifacts collected by Phil Collins went on display at the Alamo after he donated the items to the state of Texas. Phil Collins was a drummer for what rock group before his solo career?
Genesis.
2, Kelly Marie Tran is the voice of Raya in Disney's new animated movie, Raya and the Last Dragon. What Disney franchise did Kelly Marie Tran play mechanic Rose Tico?
I have no idea.
3, CBS All Access is being rebranded as Paramount Plus. What was the first original scripted series on CBS All Access? Here's a hint. It's a spinoff of The Good Wife.
No idea.
That's okay. 4, Peeps has released a marshmallow-themed makeup line. What animal was the original Peep?
A duck.
Okay. 5, Meghan Markle was one of the suitcase models on the TV game show Deal or No Deal. Who was the host of the show at that time?
Oh my goodness, I have no idea.
That's all right, Kayla. That's okay. Hold on. Let me wave Raven back in. Hold on.
Yo.
All right. Kayla got 1.5 out of 5.
Oh, not too good, yeah. Kayla. The 1.5 sounds suspect, but let's see how I do.
All right. 1, artifacts collected by Phil Collins went on display at the Alamo after he donated the items to the state of Texas. Phil Collins was a drummer for what rock group before his solo career?
That's easy. Genesis.
Yes. 2, Kelly Marie Tran is the voice of Raya in Disney's new animated movie, Raya and the Last Dragon. What Disney franchise did Kelly Marie Tran play mechanic Rose Tico?
Take a guess and go with Mandalorian.
Well, it's Star Wars, so it's a Star Wars franchise, so I'll give it to you.
Oh, look at me go.
3, CBS All Access is being rebranded as Paramount Plus. What was the first original scripted series on CBS All Access? Now, here's a hint. It's a spinoff of The Good Wife.
I'll just say The Good Husband.
No, it's The Good Fight. 4, Peeps has released a marshmallow-themed makeup line. What animal was the original Peep?
They're chicks, right?
Yes, they're chicks.
Yes, because they make Peeps. Come on.
I gave you 1/2. Yeah.
What did she say?
I knew they were yellow. Yeah. I knew they were yellow.
I think she said duck.
Oh, that's terrible. Duck?
Yeah, I don't know. I was close enough.
They'd be called quacks.
It had feathers. I was like, all right. Like, Kayla's having a rough day. Like,
seems
5, Meghan Markle was one of the suitcase models on the TV game show Deal or No Deal. Who was the host of the show at that time?
Howie Mandel's one of my favorite slot machines in Vegas.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Kayla. He beat you 4-1.5 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Awesome. I can be Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Kayla. That means we put another $100 in the jackpot. Tomorrow morning, your shot at $200. But next, the pandemic has brought back a lot of things that were trendy one time before, but I never thought we would see this club again. It's coming up. So many different clubs out there that you don't even know exist. And when you hear about them, you're like, huh? There's a club for that?
There's enough people that will group around and hang out and talk about anything nowadays.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven, and here's a club that got our attention.
2.5 years ago, myself and Rich Collins decided to start the CW Club, principally to teach Morse code to ham radio operators. We found that there was a shortage of people who had that skill, and we thought it would be a nice idea to give back to the community and do that.
It's right. A Morse code club.
Morse code's time is now. It's back.
Is
the Morse
it?
Code is back,
I was
Anna's
like,
app.
did it ever go? I was thinking about it. I don't know anything about Morse code.
Right, you don't know anything.
Nothing. Like, do they even use it still? I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I told you, I was driving down the street the other day, and one of my neighbors, he's got his ham radio. He has a handheld ham radio.
Legit.
I thought this was reserved basically for people's garage or their basement. They'd put on the headphones, and they just try and talk to, like, Siberia night after night after night, and once in a while get a blip on there.
Right.
Maybe could be an alien, somebody from a past life. He had one that was handheld.
That's legit serious.
Who was he talking to?
But here's the
best part. Who was he listening for?
But you think about Morse code and you think like old school, right? No. The kids have been flocking to this. This is 17-year-old Alana Bernstein.
Well, this is my first time professionally learning it. I just really love how it gives you something to do and get your mind off things. And it's like something you can do with other kids around the world.
Like what?
Okay.
I can't get my kid to finish her reading assignments for the summer. And she's over here learning Morse code that I didn't even know was still a real thing.
And talking to kids on the other side of the planet.
Right.
Let's just keep an eye on this and make sure this isn't one of those TikTok incidents.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
China, you hear what I'm saying. We're watching you.
All right. So now let's go. You're going to teach me Morse code.
Right.
I'm going
to
pull. Here's how Morse code works. It's a series of beeps and like
dashes. They call it a dash. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now here's the thing. Given the fact that this is radio and not television and that I didn't actually find a beeper in here that wouldn't set off some sort of alarm or something like that.
Yeah.
We're going to have to improvise. So I've got a dog toy. Dog toy will be Dot.
Okay. Dot is dog toy.
And then
toy.
I have a maraca. And maraca will be dash.
Maraca is dash.
All right. And this is a simple message I've put together for you. It's only four words. And I want to see if you can decipher.
Four words?
It's four words. It's like a simple sentence. And I want to see if you can decipher it before we come back here. You ready?
Okay. I have a key up in front of me, so don't go too fast.
What do you mean you have a key?
Like the key, so I can
see.
No,
you should write down the sounds, and then you go to the key.
Right,
do you not know anything about code breaking?
I don't. I know nothing about Morse code.
Remember, this is dot.
Yes.
All right. And this is dash.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Here we go. Long pause.
That's three. Okay.
That was four. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Here we go. Pay attention.
Is it still
will you stop talking? If you keep talking, you can't hear what I'm doing.
But that was the second word? Okay.
Yes. Okay. This is still the second word.
Okay.
All right? After the four dots, I'm going to repeat it. Long pause.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Last word.
Okay, last word.
Message complete.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I've got like a lot of dots and dashes.
You work on it for a few minutes and we'll come back and see whether or not you're able to pull it off and get the message.
All right. Did I figure out Morse code? It's coming up next with Anna and Raven. There's just so many cool clubs out there that you don't even know exist. It's Anna and Raven. We've been talking about CW Club and they started teaching Morse code.
Right.
And it caught on so much that this is how many people I have.
We've reached 770 members in all 50 states and 15 countries. And we teach 50 classes per week online, including our kids' classes.
How cool is that? Even kids are taking it.
I mean, 750 people across the world is not a lot of people.
To learn Morse code.
But it's exciting,
who's
I guess.
Learning Morse code?
I'm just saying a lot of people have time on their hands right now. I'm just saying. I mean,
Morse code is cool.
I mean, when you said it, I thought there was going to be hundreds of thousands.
Still a lot of people.
It's a cool club. I mean, if you've got a ham radio and you've got a lot of time on your hands, which obviously most people have the time right now at this point, to tell your kid, get them into something.
Right. So, Raven and I are trying to learn Morse code. Mm-hmm. Raven has...
No. I know it. That's why I'm sending the messages. You are trying to interpret my Morse code message for you.
This is four words.
Four words.
Raven gave it to me a few minutes ago. Do it again. By the way,
I mean, most of the time when you're getting and receiving a Morse code message, you're not going to get a hint at the beginning and go, four words, because the whole point is that you can't speak. But here it is.
Okay.
Four words. Here we go.
Hold on. A dot is a dog toy and a dash is a maraca.
Right, because I don't have a buzzer, so we had to improvise.
Okay,
all right, here we go. Here we go. Four words.
Word three. No, okay.
That is word three.
Okay, yeah, I got it. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, I think
that's
I got
the
it.
End of the message okay. right there.
All right, I think I
mean,
did
look
it.
At your face. I hope that you did get it. It's something that I tell you from time to time. Maybe you do have it.
Oh, maybe I don't.
You think it's something completely new?
It said, right. Here's my interpretation of that Morse code.
Mm.
I hope you're red.
No.
It's not. I hope you're red. I spent the last 10 minutes interpreting that.
What sense would that make?
I hope
you're red.
You're the one that sent the Morse code.
I mean, you got a couple letters, right?
What is it?
The message says, I hate your face.
That's not nice.
But it is something that I say to you.
You do say that a lot. I hate your face. Right. I hope you're red.
You got some letters, right?
I almost did it.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. I mean.
Speaking of clubs, though. You know, there's so many strange clubs out there that are, I shouldn't even say strange. They're just unique and different. You don't even know exist. Raven,
sure.
Do you belong to any clubs?
I guess fantasy football. Fantasy football, I think, is a club.
I guess that makes sense.
I think I did pretty good the last couple of years, and I don't show up to the extracurricular stuff, so I'm like the worst member of the fantasy football club.
Yeah.
I take your money, and I don't come and participate.
I was trying to think about it. I'm like, what clubs do I belong to?
Yeah.
Mentoring and Inspiring Women in Radio Club?
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't actually do anything.
I was going to say, when was your last meeting?
I just signed up.
Schedule pretty well, and I don't recall you leaving for that at any time.
You know what club I do participate in?
What's that?
The Nordy Club Rewards Program at Nordstrom's. It's part of a club where you get points, and then you get like money off. It's like a coupon.
Yes, I'm familiar with rewards programs at stores. I didn't know we were counting those, but
well,
okay.
Well, it says club in the title, so 1-800-330-9999. What club do you belong to? Sure, you can belong to a lot of clubs. Country clubs, golf clubs. There's just so many unique and different clubs out there that you don't even know exist that people belong to.
I mean, some of these clubs I'd really like to hang out if I had more time.
Well, right. It's Hannah and Raven. So, when you're talking about unique clubs, I found a bunch that I definitely had no idea existed.
If you're a Steve, Steven, Steven with a PH, Stephanie, Esteban, or any other variation, you're welcome to join Project Steve.
How cool is that if you have a club just
that
for
that is
name?
Cool if you are a Steve.
Yeah, right. I looked
because
up,
nobody knows whether you're a Stephanie with an F or with a PH, or if you're a Steve or a Steven, whether it's PH or yeah, it's a mess, man.
Right.
And they resent it. I know a Steven, and everybody used to get it wrong, and he was really mad.
You know what's the cool thing about the Steve Club?
What's that?
They have a theme song.
Did you make that up?
No, it's real. You know what I was thinking about?
You know what?
You're not even a real club until you have a song.
Well, I was going to say you're not a real club until you have a bar. Because clearly they have a bar and
I belong to my sorority. That's a club and we have a theme song too. So that makes us legit, just like the Steve Club.
Do you have a bar?
Well, we went to several bars.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
How about this club?
Everybody loves a beautiful cloud, but the Cloud Appreciation Society takes it a step further. Their manifesto states that they believe that clouds are unjustly maligned, that they are expressions of the atmosphere's moods, and that those who contemplate the shapes in clouds will save money on therapy bills.
Definitely want to belong to that club.
I wonder if she's getting the discount on therapy clubs.
Yeah.
Because clearly.
What club do you belong to? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I belong to the Knights of Columbus.
Okay. Yeah, I belong to the Eagles myself. I love cheap drinks.
You like cheap drinks?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you belong to a club?
I do. It's a robotics club. And a lot of people think that's a little bit weird for a guy my age, but it's so much fun, and we get together, and it's just a blast. It's just people like me that love robotics.
Wait a minute, how old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
And do you build robots?
I had no idea there was a robot club that I could go hang out with and just be building robots. Are you using like household appliances or what are you doing?
Raven wants to join you.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Whatever we can find. Yes, doors open. Come with us.
Shop vac robot. Oh man, I always wanted to invent stuff like that, like the kid from the Goonies.
I think it's cool. Why should kids have all the fun? And it's the future. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you belong to a club?
I am a part of the Michael Bublé fan club.
That's nice. A real fan club?
It is. It's a real one.
What do you get with the Michael Bublé fan club?
You get to, you know, we get to share news about him and, you know, we have little trinkets and fun things. Stuff like first access when, you know, his, like, tickets go on sale. Mm. We get to see the videos with his wife.
As long as they don't get into, like, a little tussle and all the controversy comes out there.
No controversy. They're sweet.
I believe it when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I believe it when she says it.
I forgot all about Artists Fan Club. Like when we were little, I remember being part of the New Kids on the Block fan club.
Nice. What did you get?
posters
awesome.
And like pins and things like that. That was great. I didn't know that they still kind of had artist fan club like that.
Yeah, it's called propaganda. That's what the industry is built on it.